stopped at a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you socialize very much with...
I got along with both, mm-hmm. because I really wanted to know both of them.
Mm-hmm. And then how, were they mostly among the China born, were they mostly males or...
No, they had girls. They had girls too.
Now, what year is this then?
That would be
college.
That would be 1947 to 1952.
I see.
Around that time.
Uh-huh.
48, 50, 49, 50, 52, 51, 52, around then.
So when you were dating then, were you dating mostly still American-born girls?
Oh yeah, American-born girls. I was just getting to know those people from China,
mm-hmm.
and there was a sharp distinction. We looked at them as a little different. They looked to us as a little different, mm-hmm. and the meeting of the minds were not there.
Mm-hmm. You didn't speak the same language.
Well, they spoke English.
Well, I mean,
they spoke English, yeah, but the attitudes were a little different.
Mm-hmm. Now, did most of those Chinese that you met at SC at that time, were they planning to stay here, or were they voicing, you know?
Well, I don't know, really. I know they're still here.
Oh, I see. They're still here. Well,
oh, yeah.
This is about the time when
the communists took over.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, now, since then, you've gone into business for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you came out of college at that time, did you find any kind of discrimination at all?
Oh, yeah.
How?
So a lot of discrimination. The reason why, I studied petroleum engineering,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I didn't go into petroleum engineering is because when I was going to school, and I'll be sitting in the front row, and the professor will have summer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got the summer jobs.
Did you ever ask him for a summer job?
I never got it. The fellows would be just cutting grass like that, and also when the professor was handing out things, I never got it until everybody else got it, and if there was none left over, I didn't get it. That was at SC.
Yes.
SC was pretty prejudiced, some of the schools,
mm-hmm.
and also dental school wouldn't allow Chinese in it. And medical school would not allow Chinese in it at that time.
Well, during the time when you were going to school?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason for a long time I wouldn't donate to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I donate now, but
mm-hmm.
For a long time I would mm-hmm. never donate to that school. I just, when I got my degree, I just felt that, well, I got my degree now, the college is going to fall apart. And,
so
then, when I went to get a job,
mm-hmm.
I had an appointment with a drilling company,
mm-hmm.
and I was downtown. It was a little early, and I happened to see a sign on the door. It says, recent graduates, you want a job, come upstairs. I didn't know what it was, so I went upstairs, and I got hired on the spot. It happened to be the county. It was the county flood control district, and the man who hired me had no prejudices at all. He was very good to me, and I got pretty good treatment there. And then I worked there for about 4 months, and I got drafted in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time when I was in the Army is when I really learned about the Caucasian people,
mm-hmm.
and I learned how to get along with them.
Mm-hmm.
I made a point of going to their churches,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't try not to through the weekend offs. I tried not to hang around with the guys in camp, and I went in a town. You know, this fellow and we were very close friends. We just went to the local church and
mm-hmm.
got to know the people. So I really learned how to get along with these people, and that's the thing that's really helped me in my business now, because my business is 100% Caucasian people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but after I came out of the Army, I went to work. I got my job back at the flood control district, and I encountered a lot of discrimination there.
In what ways?
We were always told, don't expect to get hired in the third level, which was which was a squad leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then during those days, they also used to tell us, well, maybe you're good enough for a squad leader, but we don't think the men would take orders from you.
And this was 19...
That was 1955, 56.
When you came
very, out. It was fairly recent in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember also the flood control, they hired the first black in a clerk room, and they were all trying to keep that black person out. It was only the clerk, it was only in the mimeograph room, mm-hmm. and they were trying to keep him out. And we were given high promotabilities on the first three level, but after mm-hmm. that, they downed us on the promotabilities.
Were you able to take any kind of tests or anything?
They couldn't
like that?
Stop you from taking the test.
Right, but they wouldn't hire you even if you.
Well, the way they do it is this way. You see, they give you, you get so much on the written exam,
mm-hmm.
and then the other part is promotability, which that's where they get you.
Oh, I see.
So they just write you down, and if you were consistently scoring high.
Mm-hmm.
Then on their yearly report, they'll write you down to prove to have documentary proof that you weren't capable of getting that promotion.
I see.
And they will plan years ahead.
And you never got to see those reports.
Oh, you could see them.
You could see.
Oh,
them.
Yeah, they just write you down and.
Did you ask why you were written down or anything? Like
well,
that?
We all knew, you see,
mm-hmm.
we all knew, but it didn't last too long.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last, it lasted about 11 years while at that time I was working in the county,
mm-hmm.
and things didn't shape up for me until I took a teaching job. I taught engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Army, I came back, I went to school tonight and got my civil engineer's degree, and then I got my master's degree. And then I had a layoff about 2 years doing nothing, and then I went and taught engineering. Well, during the years that I taught engineering, a lot of the county people that were moving up the promotional list were my students.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I had the respect of everybody in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And then things started going places for me. I mean, I started to go places, and then I was brought into this other division to start to help them put together a design section.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I wrote most of their promotional exams
mm-hmm.
for the engineers, and I sat on the interview boards for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then things were going good for me from then on.
I see. So it was only until you actually were teaching then?
Oh, yeah. And then my students were in there, and my respect came from my students.
I see.
And of course, they don't have that problem anymore. And also, the old timers by that time were retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that moved up the echelons were people who were there with us, side by side, working with us, who passed us up
mm-hmm.
because they had the favored position.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they have already become so used to us
mm-hmm.
that prejudice didn't exist with them.
I see.
So what it really amounted to was waiting for that old generation to retire, because there's no way you're going to change their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the new generation came in,
mm-hmm.
there was no more problems.
I see. Now, how about in housing? Have you ever encountered
yes.
discrimination there?
Yes. In housing, I'll take you back to the old days. Back right after the war, a lot of Chinese made money.
Mm-hmm.
They made quite a bit of money.
This is World War II you're
yes.
talking about, all
yes.
right?
And the Chinese at that time were trying to move west to a better housing, and everybody was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
was scared?
Most people were scared, you know.
About what?
About the treatment they would get when they move in those
oh,
neighborhoods.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And so what they'll do is they'll do things like moving in at night, and
uh-huh.
weekends, and... And of course, there was a lot of rumors, and I don't know how true the rumors are, you know, about having garbage thrown on your yard
mm-hmm.
and things like that. I don't know how true. Sometimes you think back, I think a lot of it was scuttlebutt,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just talk, you know. And but when I got out of the Army, I tried to I tried to buy a house,
mm-hmm.
and we went to Pacific Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
This real estate man took us to Pacific Palisades, and later on called up and told us he couldn't show us Pacific Palisades because the neighbors saw us, and they came up in arms and wouldn't let us buy in there.
I see.
And so we went down to Crenshaw area to buy,
mm-hmm.
and we went to the wrong real estate office. Went into Lamert office, and that the Lamert office was the one I think that developed that Crenshaw area because it's called Lamert Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us flatly, if you want to buy south of Jefferson Boulevard, we'll sell you a house. But if you want to buy north of Jefferson Boulevard, we can't sell you a house.
They just came right out.
Came on and told us, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I came out and told them, I said, well, next time there's a war, you better not draft me in because I ain't going to fight. I was real mad. And the guy just looked at me dumbfounded. He didn't say a word.
That's good.
Yeah.
So then you went to another place then?
No, and then then we tried to buy a house over here.
Yes,
and we were
here.
By Bundy.
Oh.
Bundy, south of
mm-hmm.
Santa Monica Boulevard. We had a lot of difficulty getting a house. We were always given the runaround and told that, we don't have any house for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, what about this time? Well, that's sold, or we can't sell it to you. So we got the house. We got one house, bought it directly from the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had heard about it, and we made contact with the owner, and then there was one real estate man
mm-hmm.
who negotiated the deal for us, and
mm-hmm.
that's how we got our first house.
I see. So the
we went through a period of that.
Uh-huh. Now, when you were in the war, you know, in the Korean War, you said that, you know, you went...
I didn't go overseas.
You were staying in a little town. Where was that?
Well, actually, when I was in the Army, I was a soldier scientist.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have to carry a gun,
uh-huh.
nor did I have to go finish up basic training,
uh-huh.
and I didn't wear a uniform.
Right. But you were in some town. I was, you know, I wanted to see whether or not in that little town you
had absolutely
any kind of
none whatsoever. Because we went into Alabama, and at that time, the officers were afraid that we would run into trouble,
mm-hmm.
but we had no prejudice whatsoever heaped at us, none whatsoever. They didn't even know what we were.
Now, were you, when you were drafted in the Army, were you drafted into, you weren't drafted into an all Chinese?
No, there was no such thing.
There was no such thing.
No such thing. The only, there was still a Jim Crow Army, though, for black people.
Uh-huh.
But there was nothing for all Orientals. The only all Oriental one was the 444 that the Japanese had from
mm-hmm.
Hawaii. But there was no discrimination, no ill treatment or anything toward the Chinese from the time I was in the service. Didn't
this
experience.
Was in the South that you were in.
Well, even in Fort Ord and different
mm-hmm.
places. And I during my service, I traveled from one camp to another.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we were doing, when we first started, I was doing investigating work.
Mm-hmm.
And we were treated like we were no different than anybody else, and same as in a town.
Mm-hmm. So it was really your first dose of discrimination that came when you started work.
When I came back out of the Army is when I really encountered it,
mm-hmm.
because I was sheltered at home from, you know, we heard about it, but I never really had to go out on my own, you see,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't go out on my own until we came back here, and that's when I really, but that was only a very short period. By that time, I had an opportunity to really understand those people.
Mm-hmm.